Tiger just salvaged a par on number 15, but that's kind of like a bogey. That's an easy birdie hole, but he'll try to get it together here. The rest of the field begins teeing off, what, around 10:15? That round two begins for the rest
of the
guys?
Leaders do.
In the meantime, of course, the headlines yesterday. O.J. Simpson dead of prostate cancer at the age of 76, and it dredged up 30 years of memories and also 30 years of reflections about how, in so many ways, our media was changed, law enforcement and its perception were changed. Christine Brennan is a sports columnist for USA Today. She got the call as O.J. was taken off in the Bronco almost 30 years ago, and she joins us now with her reflections upon O.J.'s death. Christine, good morning.
Lloyd and Jamie, great to be with you. You know, I grew up in Toledo, Ottawa Hills, suburb of Toledo, and listening to WJR, Ernie Harwell, those Tigers games. So great to be on always with you. Love Mitch, of course, as well. And yeah, you know what? I was at the Washington Post then, and right in the, you know, kind of the beginning of my career, just the, you know, the early stages. And I'd been out on Friday night and came back to my landline voicemail with the message from my sports editor, George Solomon of Washington Post, get to California. And actually, I just wrote a column that's up online. There's no paywall up for USA Today. And I told the story of flying out to from Washington Dulles to San Francisco. And I went to San Francisco the next morning very early because my task was simple. The entire reason to fly across the country was to knock on someone's door. And the someone was O.J. Simpson's sister. We had her address somehow, well before GPS. I know the kids are saying, how is that possible? And I rented a car, drove to this location, knocked on the door, and I had no optimism at all that this was going to work. And a woman opened the door, and it was O.J.'s sister. And I knew I had about 5 seconds. Kids who are getting into journalism, they got 5 seconds before the door shuts. So basically I said, I've just flown in from Washington, D.C. to speak with you about your brother. She couldn't have been nicer. She said, no thanks. Did not slam the door in my face. Quite the opposite. I stood there and the door closed slowly. And there I was on her front stoop. And my whole reason for being in San Francisco was now over. So I went to a payphone, called my editor, sports editor George Solomon, said, what now? And he said, get to Los Angeles. And I spent the next 3 weeks in Los Angeles chasing stories, leads, meeting the lawyers, listening to Robert Shapiro, you know, all the figures that who were going to become so famous. At the time, they're just lawyers and walking in and out of the courtroom, and we're staking it out. So it was a fest. And I started doing a lot of television work then, which has triggered all that I'm doing now. So it was absolutely crazy and very interesting time.
Where were you when the verdict was read, and did you do any stories after that?
You know, I really didn't at that point, Lloyd, just because it wasn't really a sports story anymore, right? OJ had gone from sports hero to alleged murderer. Obviously exonerated in this criminal trial, and then of course found liable for $33 million in the civil trial. I think a lot of us, you know, what we think we know about what happened. But at that point I was still, I was covering the NFL for the Washington Post. So, but I do remember, I mean, that was, what was interesting about that is anyone who's, you know, old enough to recall is we got the word the day before that the verdict would be read at, was it 2 p.m. or something
like that?
Yeah. And so that was, you know, talk about must-see TV. The whole nation was riveted because we knew the time. And yeah, I mean, I was surprised that he was found not guilty. It also, I think, did something very important, though. You know, as a white person in this country, I'm sure, like many white people that day, we were shocked at the reaction, the happiness of the Black community, not universal, of course, but it was an important thing to see because we all think we know our country. And it turned out that the anger, the rancor, the issues with the police that we've come to see loud and clear over the last few years, police brutality, murders, et cetera, you know, that was something that I certainly didn't know anything about. And so I'm glad that we saw the reaction because as a nation, we need to learn about each other and we need to learn from each other and we need to, you know, be able to talk and understand. And so while that was a shock in many ways to see how happy so many people were, it also was very important to see that. And I know I learned that from that day for sure.
Christine Brennan, Northwestern grad. Love that. Can you talk about just how journalism has changed from that time when this high-profile case happened to now, where you just tweet something and you don't even know if it's true or not, you just go with it. But it wasn't like that back then.
No, no, Jamie and Corsa, Medill and go Cats. Great to talk to you. And,
yeah.
I know you mean that generally. Obviously, I don't. I just tweeted out my story. I read a tweet 3 times out loud, or if I'm with people, I don't read it out loud because you look like a total goofball. But I certainly read it in my head, right? So I'm a stickler. Yeah, anyone who's doing that, just tweeting nonsense and not double-checking or triple-checking, I triple, quadruple, I check every name that I that I've written a million times. Katie Ledecky, I check it. Ledecky, you know, that's how you have a long career, kids. And anyway, you know, they shouldn't be doing that. Stop doing that immediately. But yes, you're right. I mean, it's just, although what would this OJ have been with Twitter?
Oh, my, yeah.
And Tanya Nancy, of course, which started in Detroit on January 6th, of all things, 1994, with the attack on Nancy Kerrigan. That story had happened a few months earlier. So we had two huge stories. But the difference there, it was a bruised knee for Nancy Kerrigan that spurred her on to the greatest performance of her life. This, of course, was 2 dead bodies. And we should say that every time we talk about this, Nicole Brown Simpson, Ron Goldman, young people dead, murdered. That we never obviously lose sight of that. So, yeah, journalism, we had a lot of money, too. I mean, the Washington Post, we just flooded the zone for sure.
Fly to San Francisco, get a car. All that doesn't happen anymore.
No.
Well, Christine, how has this changed our news standards, though? I mean, in terms of whether you overcover something strictly because it's going to get eyeballs, it seems like cable news ever since has been trying to find that soap opera, that drama, maybe even artificially creating some issues to try to bring people into the arena again.
Yeah, I think it's troublesome. I mean, the idea of journalism and news is that they're professionals, like people who've been trained at one of the best, if not, I believe, the best journalism school in the country. I'm biased, Northwestern. You know, that we're the ones doing this. And now, of course, everyone's doing it, citizens, journalists. We're not putting the genie back in the bottle. I'm a realist, of course, but there are standards, and also we shouldn't do everything just because of clicks and eyeballs. And my goodness, every news organization is now doing that as well, even the most trusted and even the ones with the highest standards. Of course, we're doing more than that. But I don't ever think about clicks or views or how many people are reading anything. I've never thought about selling a newspaper. You know, that old line, oh, you just did that because you wanted to sell that, wrote that story because you wanted to sell a paper. And all these years of my career, which have been 40 years, yeah, I've been doing this, I've never thought of a newspaper being sold. You do it for the right reasons. And you're right. Everything changed because this was reality TV, really the first reality TV story. And it was all about the idea of having this soap opera, so to speak, this saga play out. People couldn't get enough of it. So the networks, everyone goes, let's give them more, more, more. It makes sense. But it certainly has had a devastating impact on journalism.
Yeah, more drama than information in many cases. Christine Brennan, we appreciate your reflections of going back 30 years, marveling at how much you can remember. I wish my memory was so good.
Well, there are days, right?
Yeah. Christine, yeah, thanks so much. And do read her column today in the USA Today. No paywall or anything like that. Thanks again, Christine.
My pleasure. Hello, Detroit. Hello, Toledo.
Yeah.
Take care.
All right. Yeah, a nice Toledo lady. When we come back, the Masters is underway. Tiger's having a little bit of frustration. We'll get you updated on it all with Steve Courtney next on JR Morning.